Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's been faithful, hasn't He?
Amen.
I like what Paul told Timothy. He said, though we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. And even the times where we struggle to believe and we may have faith and doubt mix, the Lord, He's still faithful. And so we appreciate the Lord tonight. And want to welcome everyone to Tuesday Night Jubilee right here at Calvary. And we've had our kickoff actually on Sunday, but then started our week yesterday and had a great service last night with Brother Ricky Gravely preaching for us on the rapture. And if you didn't get excited about that, like the old preacher said, your wood's wet. And so, but anyway, we appreciate that. Miss Deborah Perry and Jaden's call last night. Singing for us, did a tremendous job, and they're here again tonight to sing, and we're looking forward to them singing in just a few moments. But then I want to do a quick rundown on Sunday. Sunday morning, Brother Snyder preached, and he talked about that the Lord is looking. The Lord is looking, and He's wanting to show Himself mighty through us, and He's looking for somebody that He can trust to do that. And so we appreciated that message on Sunday morning from Brother Snyder. Of course, the Perrys were singing then. But then on Sunday night, Brother Sammy came through here and he preached on Don't Quit. Don't Quit. And Old Pass sang for us then, and a tremendous message. And again, last night, Brother Ricky preached on Rapture Ready. And so it's been very good thus far in our Jubilee. But tonight, we are honored and privileged to have Reverend David Smith with us and his lovely wife, Miss Annette. And round of applause. And I never really traveled preaching, never really was asked to, but I can imagine there's some meetings, Brother Dave. David, you go by yourself, and then, but what a blessing it is to be able to take your wife along with you. And so we're glad to have them both here this evening. All right, I want to, again, we've been starting 15 minutes early, and we're going to continue that all the way through Thursday. Really wanted to start things off with a time of prayer, really emphasizing and drawing attention to prayer. And so that's what I want to do again this evening. And we're going to mention some folks tonight in prayer. We're going to mention Emery and Jaden, the grandkids of what's your name, brother? Chris. Chris and Miss Deborah. And so really on our hearts to mention them tonight. But also we have a good friend of David Henderson named Gary. He just retired from his company. But he found out he has prostate cancer. I believe he said it was a stage 5, or it's. I told brother David before service. I said he worked all them years, and the moment he retires, he gets that kind of cancer. So, not really sure about that. But we want to pray for him tonight. And of course, our young man Max, who had jaw surgery, and he's recovering, and so. He has to go 2 weeks with very, very strict orders. And so I want to pray for him tonight. And, of course, those in Ukraine. And we're not going to get political in any sense, but I know the president made some decisions as far as oil and Russia. And I know things are going to keep going up. And so we need God to intervene on that. No man can work us out of that problem. Only the Lord can. And so we're going to remember them tonight. And I want us to remember our young people. The devil is after our teenagers. The devil is after our young people. And I've said it before, I preached on it, and I'm trying not to hobby horse on it when I do preach. But he uses the media outlet. He uses social media and all of these dark apps the devil uses. And my heart's broke tonight for young people in that manner. I got a teenager. She's in middle school. And so I hear about these things. She's not exempt. Your children are not exempt. Your grandchildren are not exempt. And so I really want to call on the Lord to just help them during this time in which we live. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And again, we're just going to take a moment and pray. We're not going to be quick about it, but we'll be through when the Lord tells us to be through, and then we'll believe we have a song to sing. Thank you. I had that right on my notes. I didn't even see it. Thank you, brother. Junior Jubilee downstairs. Brother Brian Busby is heading that up, and he has for years. We appreciate him so much. But Junior Jubilee is going on right now. Went on yesterday all the way through Thursday. So if you have a little one, send them on down to the Jubilee.
Right.
We'll do, brother. We sure will. Another hand, Miss Pam. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this evening, Lord, and God, we just come before you unrushed. We know we're in Jubilee meeting, but it's all about prayer. It's all about bathing the service in prayer. Lord, it's all about praying and remaining plugged into God through prayer. But tonight, Lord, we lift up to you Emery, little Emery, and Jaden both. And Father, I pray your very best for them. Lord, we've heard the story last night of exactly what has taken place and what needs to be in the future. And so I just pray for strength and grace, Lord, for Miss Deborah as she takes care of Jaden. And then little Emery is in the hospital, Lord, and could possibly be for a few more months. Father, I pray that you'll touch Emery in a very, very mighty, mighty way. Strengthen the parents, strengthen the grandparents, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll continually use this situation, Lord, to bring souls to Christ, Lord, too. But to bring your will about, Lord, your perfect will. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on in life, and these situations may seem foreign and contrary, really, to how we feel that you should work in our life. But God, we know you have a purpose, and we know you have a plan. Tonight, Father, we pray for Gary, who has prostate cancer. Lord, we call upon God for him. I pray that you'd heal him. Lord, he's worked his entire life, and the moment he retires, Lord, he has stage 5 cancer. Lord, we don't understand that. Lord, we don't know your plan for that. But God, we pray that you'll touch him and his family, Lord. And God, that you'll touch his wife and just reveal your will to him with that situation, Lord. But give him grace and give him strength to get through that. Father, we thank you for Max and the operation you brought him through. Lord, how that you used doctors, Lord, to reposition his jaw and fix his jaw, Lord. Just a young man playing football and broke that jaw. But God, even then, Lord, you know how to repair things such as that. And God, you use doctors, and we're so very thankful, Lord, for what you did for Max. I pray for the next couple of weeks, Lord, as he recovers. And Lord, he has his mouth is wired shut, God. I couldn't imagine how that must feel. But Lord, we pray that you give him peace and give him inner strength, Lord. Young Christian man, Lord, we're so very thankful for Max, William, and Alex, Lord. Tonight, God, we call upon you for Ukraine. I pray, Father, that you would touch them and use us, Lord, all that we possibly can to be a help to Ukraine. And Father, with everything going on in our world and the decisions of the president, Lord, and no doubt things are going to get more expensive for us as U.S. citizens, God, you're in control. Lord, you're on the throne. And Father, I pray that you'll deal with Russia. Lord, somewhere, somehow, some way, there's a purpose for this. There's a purpose for it. If there wasn't a purpose for it, we'd have to say that something snuck by you. But nothing sneaks by you, Lord. Nothing is done without your approval. No matter how gruesome, no matter how violent it may seem, Lord, you work all things together for good. And so we pray for Ukraine, the people of Ukraine tonight. But Father, what's heavy on my heart tonight is our young people. God, I pray for our teenagers. Lord, I pray for my teenager. Lord, I pray for our children's home, Lord, and I pray for our young people here at the church, Lord. They're going through elementary, middle school, and high school. And Father, it's not a day like it was when I was going to school. It's much more worse now. Someone told me the other day that at a certain secular school, the principal has to stay outside the bathrooms all day long because of the activity that goes on in the bathrooms. Drugs and rape even, violence, all of these crazy things, Lord. Our kids need our prayers tonight. And so, Father, I call upon you tonight to put up that hedge of protection like in Job's day. And, Father, we know while that hedge of protection's up, nothing can come in and nothing can go out. And so, Lord, we pray for our children this evening. Lord, lift them up to you, God, that you protect them. And help us as parents, let me say. Help us, Lord, as mentors and leaders, make sure we're walking right. Because we do have those young ones that are following our lead. God, we have to walk right in order for them to walk right. Father, tonight we cast our cares upon you. Father, we pray for Brother David as he comes to preach this evening. Lord, that you would touch him and anoint him. And Father, we know he has the right message for us tonight. Help us that are listening, oh God, have obedient hearts to the word of God. Help us respond, Lord, to your word tonight. We're just so very thankful, Lord, for Jaden's call. Lord, I pray you'll touch them in a mighty way. Touch our choir. We love you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
never gave up. Mercy reached out. That was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me.
Folks are involved in the work of God. Amen. Amen. They sing in the choir. Our youth are very active in our church, and we're so thankful for that. And the Lord uses them. They're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad and thankful for that tonight. Would you please make welcome back to Calvary tonight, Jaden's Call.
Back and start telling everybody, hey, someone stole the body of Jesus. But then the not here. He's alive. Our God is not a dead God. He's an alive God. It ain't Allah. It ain't Sunday Moon. It ain't no other God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And one day He's going to come down. He's going to call us home. Listen, this is not our home, y'all. Listen, we do not deserve His grace, but He gave it to us. He shed His blood to die for me and to die for you. I think that's something we ain't going to stand up and shout about. Because guess what? We're not going to hell. Because we can't. Because we are saved by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. have survived the pandemic. Just let me see you.
We're all here. I guess we survived it.
I want to tell you, I didn't know if some of us was going to survive it or not. But one night, I got to missing Chris. It was after midnight, and I had went to bed, and I kept hearing the piano playing. And he was in our little one-room studio there at home, and he was writing a song. And when we first started singing with this group about 11, 12 years ago now.
We started
the group about this group, not the Perrys, but this group about 11 or 12 years ago. And there's one thing that I noticed. We'd go into these churches like Floyd Road. I've been there to that preacher's jubilee when I was growing up. Let me tell you, they had a choir that could not be beat. And when the Spirit got to moving, they got to moving with it. And I'll never forget those memories. But one thing that I found out, that something over the years since I had came off the road with my family, the Perrys, something had changed. And God nudged me and he said, but I haven't. I haven't changed. He said, it's my people. We've become complacent, and I would tell Chris, I said, you know, I wish that things were like they used to be way back then. And you know what he did? He was writing a song about this very thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're a little bit Baptist-costal here tonight.
She always says that. She was raised Baptist. I was raised Church of God. She tries to say together we're Baptist-costal. That's what they say.
His dad was a Church of God pastor.
But let me say this, and I never have said this before. Pulpit. My dad got saved at a Baptist service man center in North Dakota. Now, we shared this last night with the preacher last night. If statistics had it correct or had it the way it's supposed to go, we're related to the Hatfield McCoys. My dad should have been in prison for years. I'm just going to tell you right now. So for God to save him, and he was telling me about the time he was in Japan, and he said he was so drunk he went through a barbed wire fence and didn't even know it. But the point being, he was raised by his aunt and uncle. His parents died when he was 3 years old. But the point is, he went to a Baptist serviceman center. And I tell you what, that's the roots where my dad got saved. And you know what? So I'm kind of partial to the Baptist because of that.
And
let me tell this part, and I'll let you tell the rest of it. So my mom was raised Lutheran. And guess what? My mom was my dad's first convert to the Lord. So I tell you what, it's because of the Baptist church. What caused the Church of God did it, I'm just telling you.
And Chris, his parents were not just parents that lived what they had on Sunday. Every time we would go to their house, we'd walk in, and they would be one of them that would have the Word of God open. And I'll never forget when Mama Darlene passed away and we left the house that day coming back home. I looked at Chris and I said, I wonder who will pray for us. But times have changed. Yeah. But God has it. So you know what? Let's get that fire of the Holy. Now, Baptists want to call it the Holy Spirit. Church of God wants to call it the Holy Ghost. It's all the same. Let's get that fire under us like we used to have way back then. Sing this song.
And she says, if you don't like it, about 2.5 minutes, it'll be over. We'll do the Baptist songs again. It's okay. I remember as a child, we used to sing, how great thou art. Those church folks, they would pray, then the Spirit, it would start. Those were the good days when that sister, she would tell of how the fire fell. I remember it well, we need that fire once again. Help us out now. We need that same power like the upper room, the fire that came down after the tomb. The fire of the Holy Ghost that Jesus talked about. He told them to tarry and they would find what he would pour out. It was just in time. We don't need to hear that same excuse. We need the fire once again. Right now is the time we need that same power again. It is for us today if we would just lean on him. So I don't want to hear it anymore of how it used to be. Just let it out in the Spirit. Just shout, it's time now to be free. We need that same power light, the upper. shepherd, the pine that came down after the tent, the vine of the Holy Ghost that Jesus talked about. He told them this area they would find when he would pour out. It was just in time. We don't need to hear that same excuse. We need the fire once again. We need that same power like the upper room, the power that came down after the tent, the fire of the Holy Ghost Jesus talked about. He told me that every name would find. He pour out. It was just in time. We don't need to hear that same excuse. We need the fire once again. We don't need to hear that same excuse. We need the fire once again. We need the fire once again. We need the fire once again.
Yeah. I tell you what, listening to this song, we have been singing this song for about 11 years, and tonight is going to be the first time that we have sang it since the songwriter passed. And you say, well, who is the songwriter? A wonderful, anointed songwriter by the name of Kyle Rowland. Her son had gave us this song years ago, and we started singing it. We hadn't sung it for a while, but she went on to be with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, we were talking about that discussion as well. Who are we going to have that's anointed to write again? A lot of them are dying off, but you know what? God is a remnant. He has people.
Amen.
He's filling in the gaps. Just like when some older preachers, when they pass on, guess what? God has still got some that he's raising up.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that it didn't just stop there. I mean, it continues to go on. And I'm so excited about it. This song is an anointed song. And it talks about, how many remembers the story about the woman with the issue of blood? Y'all remember that story? We all know the story that she spent everything she had. She spent everything she had, and she was sick. The Bible said for 12 long years, she spent all she had. But here's what's so interesting about this, and we're going to sing the song. Is everybody that Jesus touched was healed. But when somebody touches Jesus, they were made whole. That's the difference. That's what she did. She didn't just get healed. She got totally made whole. And it was according to her faith is what happened. And I tell you what, I love that story. But this is just a simple song, but I tell you, it's such a powerful message. A simple song that just says, he took my case. Listen.
Took my case.
There's no
grace.
just turn my case. How many knows that Jesus Christ will take your case, amen? No matter what your case might be, listen.
I went to see him. I was so sick and troubled. I thought I'd surely die. Then I heard his voice speaking so gently. Child, you'll be alright. This sickness you have, it doesn't have to be fatal. I can fix it with Calvary's grace. And all you need is a blood transfusion. It's paid for, and I'll take your case. He said it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody used to ask me one time, they said, why do you got to act all like that for? I said, well, somebody put a stick of dynamite under your church pew, you could act like that too. The Bible talks about it's dynamos, it's explosive. You get the power of the Holy Ghost in you, you ain't going to stay still.
I don't care if you're Church of God, Baptist, it don't matter. If the Spirit of God is in you, it's not dead. It's alive, and it's alive forevermore. And I think if we ever going to get back to the way it used to be, we got to get the fire back in the church. Amen. And that's all, the whole church. And y'all didn't come to hear me preach, I'll tell you what. Lord.
Let's do this song. We can't say that this is one of our songs, but it's a song that's really helped me the past year. My mother had a major stroke at the age of 60, and it left her very, very disabled for 21 years, and then the pandemic came by, and COVID, and COVID didn't take her, but it was one of the reasons that she left here. For the past 11 years, I had wrapped my whole life around taking care of my mother. And when I first started doing it, I found out that there were some things with me and Mom that we needed to fix. I don't know how to be nothing else but real with you. My mother was raised very hard, very poor. She didn't have much education. My dad worked away from home for years. Mom had 6 kids, and it made her tough. And let me tell you, she ruled the house when Daddy wasn't there. And when she spoke to us kids, she didn't have to speak but a time or two. One time, usually, because we knew that we'd be in trouble. Now we can't spank our kids. We can't correct them unless they threaten to call the law. If you threaten to, I'm going to beat your butt. How many have heard that? Times have changed, and now we're dealing with a lot of youth that don't know how to be respectful of their parents or of other people. And when the call came on December the 18th, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they told my brother that Mom had passed away, I just couldn't believe it. Because I wanted to be there. See, all these things, even with my daughter's life, Ashley, all of these things. See, mamas, we want to fix it. We want to make it better for our children. And when you get put in a place that there is just absolutely nothing that you can do. I wanted to hold her hand as she made that crossing, I begged, I pleaded, and I was mad, and I didn't know who to be mad at, because I knew that these hospitals were just doing what they were supposed to. And one day, I was in one of those stupors, and the grief was just more than I could bear. And I could just hear my mama saying, "Deborah, keep on. Pray hard. Stay strong. Because I'm healed in Jesus' name." And she went to heaven to be with our 2 brothers that passed away down through the years. We had 2 brothers that were 13 years old. They were killed 12 years in between each other. There was a lot of sad days at our house, but there were a lot of happy days too. So we want to sing this. I want you to sing this, Dakota. I know you've been sick, but your family's been through some stuff too. And what have we had to do? We've had to keep on proclaiming the name of Jesus, hoping to win one. You know, sometimes, Pastor, I get so weary, and we go in and we sing our hearts out, and it's as though it just hits a brick wall. And I keep praying, God, what is it? What is it? Why do people not respond? Why is the Holy Spirit in churches not like it used to be? And there again, he there's a lot of children that were born with no parent, not good parents. But they're still your mom and your dad, and they deserve to be respected. The Bible says, if we honor thy father and thy mother, our days may be long upon this earth. So I want you to sing this. And if you're here today and you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know if you can hold them or not, but let me tell you, you can with the Lord. The enemy's there and he's telling you, just let go. Give up. You know, you've dedicated your whole life, and here you've got one grandson that can do nothing, that's in a wheelchair, but he can giggle. And when I call his name, he can look around and he's trying to find where I'm at. There's coming a day that God is going to make him brand new. And his baby Emory, we found out today that he's going to have to be not 2 more months in the hospital, but 4. I'm going to tell you, I wanted to kick the devil in his shins today. And I did. I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. No matter what news we get, I'm not going to give up that this child is going to get his healing. I want to tell you, keep on. Pray hard. Stay strong. Because it's going to be worth it on that day when we lay our eyes, behold our Lord and our Savior. So, I'm going to tell you something. God is a good God. I don't care what we're facing. He's a good God.
Tired and distressed, weary saints in need of rest. Well, there are storms you must walk through, but they won't last, they never do. So keep on.
What you gotta do?
To keep on, be brave, hold.
I said we need to keep on tonight. Let's sing this song one more time as these altars are open. You ain't going to offend anybody if you're coming down to pray. Come on, turn.
Are you tired and distressed? Weary saints in need of rest. Well, then all storms you must walk through, but they won't last. They never do.
Oh, come on, somebody else.
Lord, be brave.
If there's someone, come down and pray with
me.
Somebody here needs to take the brakes off. You need to go ahead and let God do what He wants to do in your life. Come on. These altars are open. Come on. Obey the Lord tonight.
Do not turn left or right, but straight ahead, the cross in sight. And it will get you safely on.
Well, y'all do know it's Jubilee, don't you?
Amen.
And we have church an hour all year long, and then we have Jubilee for a few days, 3 or 4 days, and so these are times we break loose. And again, I'm not comparing anything to Floyd Road, but I remember we used to sing an hour and preach an hour.
Yeah.
And so we're looking for the Lord to work tonight. And I know He has been through the music, through the singing, and we appreciate that, brother, sister. And without any further ado, I'd like to ask Brother David to come on up from Pisgah, Alabama. You give a warm welcome from Brother David Smith.
Would you take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, please? Genesis chapter 22. What a joy to be back in the meeting tonight, Pastor Justin. Thank you for the privilege of being back at Calvary in the Jubilee meeting. I don't know how many years the Lord has let me come, but I've enjoyed every one of them. Enjoyed this one tonight, thus far. It's been great. Good to see all of you again. Thank you for every card that was sent. What a blessing it was to our hearts. An encouragement. And we are honored to be here again. Good to see Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia. We love them. Special, special friends. Enjoyed the good singing. Thank you for blessing my heart. Had the privilege to preach with them, or they sang a few years ago down at Cross Baptist Church in Falkville, Brother Glenn Smallwood's church. Y'all sang there, and I preached, I believe, in a year's eve service or something like that. So it's good to be back with you. Let me read one verse of Scripture tonight found in Genesis, chapter 22, verse number 1. If you want to stand while I read this text for just a moment, then I'm going to go on through to verse number 5. Let me read verse number 1 and you can be seated. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." That word tempt literally means tested. He tested Abraham, and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this subject, how to pass the test. How to pass the test. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1, that God is fixing to put the patriarch Abraham to the test. You know, the Bible makes it clear. The Word of God said, "And it came to pass after these things." Abraham had walked with the Lord for some 25 years before you come to Genesis 22. And there had been a lot of tests that Abraham had already faced in those 25 years. But this test that Abraham is going to face in Genesis 22 is not like any test he's faced in the 25 years previous. Let me say two or three things about that by way of introduction. Number one, it is going to be a very personal test. Personal test. I mean, it's going to be near and dear to the heart of Abraham. Look at verse number 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." It's a personal. It's close to the heart of the patriarch Abraham. Number two, it's a particular test. You say, "Pastor David, what in the world is God doing in the life of Abraham with this test?" I'll tell you what it is. He is testing Abraham's obedience. His obedience. You say, why would God test Abraham's obedience, Pastor, in such a way as this? I'll tell you why. Because God doesn't want us to love anybody or anything more than we love Him. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I struggle with that. I've got two granddaughters. Elizabeth Ruth, 7 years old. She thinks her papa's is the stuff. And her papa's thinks she's the stuff. I've got a second granddaughter, Ruby Annette. That's 10 months old. Looks just like her papa. She's beautiful. I love my grandbabies. But God does not want me to love anybody or anything more than I love Him. And you say, Brother Dave, help me understand that. Here it is. When I love God supremely, it makes me a better papa's to my grandbabies. When I love God greater than I love Miss Annette, it makes me a better husband to Miss Annette. When we love God supremely, in our lives, when He is the greatest love of our life, it makes all other loves in our lives greater and better. So God's going to test Abraham's faith. He loves Isaac. He loves this boy. He's the miracle baby. And God says, I'm going to put you to a particular test. I'm going to test your obedience. Number three, it's going to be a preeminent test. I mentioned in verse number one, the Bible said it came to pass after these things. You know, Abraham faced a lot of other tests. He faced a family test in Genesis chapter 12 when God said to him, I want you to leave father. I want you to leave kindred. I want you to leave your country and go into a land that I will show thee of. He faced that famine test. You remember when the famine came? Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn. He faced that fellowship test when God said to him, I want you to depart and separate from Lot. He faced that fighting test when he had to go down and rescue Lot who had been taken captive. He faced that fortune test when the king of Sodom come to him to give him those riches and he said, I don't want nothing from your hand. I'm telling you, there were other tests that Abraham faced in his life to get him to this preeminent test. Now listen to me. That's the way it works in the lives of Christians. God doesn't start out with the preeminent test. God starts out with smaller tests. Because if He started out with the preeminent test in our life when we're infant Christians, Brother Snyder, we would fold up like an accordion. Now, He's got to grow us. He's got to teach us. To learn us to trust Him. He's got to show Himself faithful to us. And we've got to rely upon that faithfulness. But Abraham's come to the place now, this is the test of all tests. It is the preeminent test in the life of the patriarch Abraham. So notice something in verse number 3. In verse number 3, there is the adherence of Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. In verse number 4, I want you to notice the arrival of Abraham. Then on the third day, don't forget that, third day, God done big things on the third day. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. In verse number 5, note the actions of Abraham. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. God in this test is taking Abraham to a place he's never been before, and he's doing something that Abraham does not fully understand. So how's he going to pass the test? I want us for just a moment or two tonight to walk with the patriarch Abraham up that mountain called Moriah. And let's learn tonight what Abraham did that enables him to pass the test. First of all, I want to mention this. I want to talk about, first of all, the perplexity of the patriarch. The perplexity. Can I ask you tonight, when you have faced tests of your faith, when God is testing your faith, has it ever left you sort of perplexed? Sort of wondering? Sort of trying to wrap your head around what the Lord is doing? What the Lord is up to? Can you honestly say, preacher, I know. I've been there. I've had faith tests leave me perplexed. Wondering what God was doing. Can you imagine Abraham as he's sitting around the campfire with his son Isaac, and he looks in Isaac's handsome face and he looks at that boy, that miracle boy that God gave to him and Sarah. I mean, when they should have been down at Walmart getting Metamucil, they're down there getting Pampers. Amen. And now God says, take his life, offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham remembers the day God said to him, you're going to have a son. And he remembers that day that Sarah overheard it. And she laughed And the Lord said, Sarah, what are you laughing at? And they named him Isaac, which means laughter. Abraham remembers him as a boy growing up, holding him in his arms, playing with him, loving on him, cuddling with him. But now God said to him, you've got to sacrifice him up on top of that mountain. He's got to be perplexed. Number two, not only the perplexity of the patriarch, but may I talk for a moment about the pursuit of the prowler. Remember what Peter said, 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober. That is more than just refraining or being intoxicated by alcohol. And while I'm here, I'll just take care of that. You ought to be sober by refraining and not being intoxicated with alcohol. Amen. We got too many Baptists. What's the social drink? And I want to tell you, I was again it when I started preaching, and I'm still again it tonight. Amen. 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 But that word sober means more than that. It means keep your head on straight. Think correctly. Don't be divided in your thinking. Have a right mind about things. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Have you ever had the devil come to you in the middle of a great faith test when you're perplexed and begin to whisper to you, if God loved you, you wouldn't be in this situation. If God cared about you, you wouldn't be in this storm. If God cared about you, you wouldn't find yourself in this circumstance. I want to tell you, he's a liar. He's always been a liar. He'll be a liar when he's thrown in the lake of fire. I'm telling you, the power will come. He'll come. There's the perplexity of the patriarch. There's the pursuit of the prowler. Pastor, you think the devil might have whispered to Abraham, if God loves you, he wouldn't have told you to take that boy up there and sacrifice him on that mountain. If God loved you, he wouldn't ask you to do something like that. Well, that's exactly what he does to us. He'll try to put doubt in our minds about God's love for us and God's goodness to us and God's righteousness. Oh, yeah. But here's what I've come to preach on. I'm just warming up now. I got warmed up now. I want to preach on the practices of the patriarch. What'd they do, preacher? What'd Abraham do? Pass the test. Three things. Number one, he walked on. Number two, he worshiped on. And number three, he witnessed on. Y'all didn't get that. I said, here's what he did. In the midst of his perplexity, in the midst of the prowling of the devil, Abraham said, I'm just going to walk on. I'm just going to worship on. I'm just going to witness on. Are you listening? You say, what do you mean, Pastor David? He walked on. We read it in our text. Abraham said unto this young man, abide ye here. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. He didn't question God. He didn't stop and try to figure it all out. He walked on. He just walked on up that hill, got to the top of the hill. He made the altar. He had the fire. He had the wood. He had the knife bat ready to take Isaac's life. He walked on in obedience to God, and he kept walking on until he met the ram. He didn't know it. But while he was walking on up one side of the mountain, on the other side of the mountain, God was bringing up a ram that was going to get there just in time. But if Abraham had not walked on, he would have missed the ram. I'm telling you tonight, that's why in the midst of your faith test, you got to walk on. You got to walk on, because you never know when the next time you go up the hill, God's bringing the ram up the other side of the hill. Walk on. Walk on. He walked on. When the storms are raging, walk on. I mean, when the burden's heavy, walk on. When the way is hard, walk on. When you don't understand it, walk on. When you can't comprehend it, walk on. When it don't make sense to you, walk on. I tell you why. Because God may be bringing a ram up the other side of the mountain. Walk on. Walk on. Walk on. Listen to me. Abraham and Isaac did not walk alone. There was a third person in that company that walked with them. You say, I'll find that in the Bible. He is with them. You say, who was it, preacher? The omnipresent God was making every step up that mountain as Abraham walked on in obedience to God. And by the way, look at me. You can't go anywhere that God's never been. And you can never go any place that God's not already there. He got there before you got there. He'll be there when you're gone. And when you get to the next place, he'll meet you there. So just walk on. Walk on. Walk on. Number two, worship on. Abraham said to these men, two men with him. By the way, I'm not going to preach on that, but that does have significance, because under the Levitical law, things had to be recorded in the mouth of two witnesses, by the mouth of two witnesses. And when Abraham got them two men to go with him, God arranged that because he knew he was going to do something so great up there on that mountain, he wanted them there to witness it. The Bible said, Abraham said to them boys, y'all stay here. I and the lad, we're going yonder and worship. Worship. That's what he said. It's first mentioned, Brother Snyder, the word worship in your Bible. And there's a hermeneutical principle called the law of first mention. It says when something's mentioned for the first time in the scripture, most of the time when you find it again, it'll mean the same thing. They're going there to worship. You say, Brother Dave, how's he going to worship? There's some things he didn't know. He had gone somewhere he'd never been before. He couldn't see the realm or hear the realm. But there's something he did know. He did know that God is good. God is worthy. God is just. And God is holy. So therefore he said, we're going to go up there and worship, because in spite of it all, God's good, God's holy, God's worthy, God's been faithful, God's righteous, God's loving, and God's kind. I want to tell you what you got to do when you're facing the test of your faith. You got to walk on, but then you got to worship on. You just got to clean you off a spot and have a spell on general principles, because God's still good. God's still holy. God's still righteous. God's still loving. God's still kind. God's still just. He's still God. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. If God never done nothing else for me in my life, he's done enough to keep me shouting for the next 20 years. Worship when you face the test of faith. Still worship him. And by the way, worship is more than just you coming in here, parking yourself on a pew, hoping the preacher gets you out by 12 so you can beat all them other Baptists down to the Piccadilly. Amen. Worship is obedience. That's worship. That's worship. You can worship God outside these doors just like you worship him inside these doors. Worship don't stop when the last amen said. Worship in the life of a believer is every day, continually, every day, Pastor. He walked on. He worshiped. He witnessed on. Did you catch that last part of verse 5? You boys stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again unto you. I never was too good in English when I was in school. And our youth pastor is an English professor at a college in our community. And he's been with me now 4 or 5 years and ain't helped me a lick, so it ain't done no good. But I got enough sense to know what that says. Abraham was expecting to come back down that mountain, not by himself, but with Isaac. You say, Brother Dave, can you prove that? I sure can. Go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. verse 17. What did Abraham witness about, Pastor? The ableness of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He witnessed not only about the ableness of God, but he witnessed about the ability of God. Verse 19. Accounting. That's a good word. You know what that word means? To add things up. Oh, Abraham said, he's been faithful right here. He's been faithful right here. Oh, over here, when it looked dim and dark, he come through again. He done it. He's been faithful here. Abraham began to go back through his mind and remember all those times that God had proved himself faithful. And when it come to the taking of the life of Isaac, the Bible said, Abraham accounting, he added up and he said this, that God's able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure. I'm telling you, Abraham said, if I have to take his life and breath leaves his body, I serve a God that's able to put air back in his lungs and live again. I'm telling you, he walked on, he worshiped on, he witnessed on. And he passed the test. God said, A plus, Abraham. You passed the test. Let's get real a moment. Oftentimes when we face great tests of our faith, there is the tendency not to want to walk on. I've pastored Baptists now since 1982. And I've seen multiple Baptists, when they faced great tests and needed God the most, turn away, walk away, and quit. They didn't walk on, preacher. They didn't walk on. And when you don't walk on, you're sure not going to worship on. And when you don't worship on, you're sure not going to witness on. If you don't walk on, worship on and witness on, you're going to miss the ram. You're going to miss the ram. I've not preached to you tonight nothing that I'm not living right now. In August of July of 2020, I went to the hospital with what I thought was a kidney stone. And it was a kidney stone. But I did not know that I had greater problems than a kidney stone. On my left kidney, I had a 13 centimeter cancerous tumor. And on August the 20th, 2020, they removed my left kidney. Took that kidney and that tumor out of my body. The doctor was hopeful that he had got clear margins. But he told Annette and I, that's almost impossible with a tumor that size to be absolutely certain that they'd got it all. Because he said those cancer cells can get loose and swim. So he sent me to an oncologist. And I began the journey with the oncologist. Back last October 2020, the oncologist, Brother Snyder, found some spots in my lungs. He said, they're very, very, very small. We're just going to keep a watch on them. So in January of 21, I went back and they grew a little. And I told the doctor, I said, Doc, what are we going to do? He said, let's wait 4 months. It's scan you again, see what to do. I said, I don't want to do that. He said, I always have heard that if there's cancer, the earlier you get on it, the better results. He said, all right, preacher, we'll get on it. So they put me on chemotherapy pill and immunotherapy. I had two immunotherapy treatments and 30 days of chemo. Pills, brother, I got sick. I dehydrated, had to have 5 days of fluid. I couldn't preach. I couldn't do nothing. I mean, I thought, what about this? And my wife took me back on the fifth day as they were pumping fluids in me. Little sweet Miss Annette got huffy. And she told them, said, if you don't help him, you're going to kill him with these treatments before cancer ever does. And they got on the ball. So the doctor said, no more treatments, no more pills. Let's see what it does. So from January or February of 2020 to my last visit a few weeks ago, the tumor, one tumor, has grew large enough to biopsy. I've got to be at Huntsville Hospital tomorrow at 12:30 to set up an appointment to have a biopsy of that tumor. You say, Brother Dave, what are you going to do if it's cancer that's metastasized up in your lungs for your kidney? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Walk on? Worship on? Witness on? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk on. Worship on? Witness on? What else can I do? I mean, what else does the Lord want me to do? He wants me to trust Him. Amen. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm walking on. I'm worshiping on. I'm witnessing on. I'm just waiting on my ram. I'm just waiting on my ram to come up the other side of the mountain. I may have to walk up the mountain. I may have to take the knife back. But I'm going to be waiting on the realm. And while I'm waiting on Him, I'm going to be walking on, worshiping on, witnessing on, telling everybody I can that God's good, God's gracious, God's faithful, God's able. God can still do anything He wants to do. I ain't quitting. I ain't blaming. I ain't getting mad. I'm not going to the house. I'm going to walk on, worship on, and witness on. I want to pass the test. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't want to disappoint my Savior. I don't want to disappoint my Lord. I want to be faithful to the finish. I've been at my church now working on 23 years. God's doing great things for us after 23 years. It's still good. We had 402 Sunday. Couldn't park the cars. Had folks saved, folks join the church. We shouted out around our place. We know what the power is. By the way, when you've been in the fire, you can't exist in the smoke. So you say, preacher, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, when you're facing the test of faith, walk on, worship on, witness on, look for the realm. He's coming up the other side of the mountain, and he'll be right on time. Amen. He'll be on time. And you can pass. Pastor, you close the service as you're led.
You've heard the message, and I tell you, heard the message, heard from the Lord, and we're just going to give the invitation. Nothing else needs to be said. I just urge you to move on the first verse and come and pray.